this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Hello, darkness, my old friend. Things are going from bad to worse on the United side of the camp. United losing 1-0 to Aston Villa, the villains. Outplayed, outgunned, outclassed, outwitted. We just didn't show up. Speaking of not showing up, slept through the first half, sir. It was an early morning. Slorax is my spirit animal today. Almost like the United team. They look like they were sleeping through a lot of that game.
Snorlax? The Pokemon, Snorax. I believe it's called. Put some respect on his name. Snorlax, sir.
Snorlax.
Alex Snorlaxon through the first half. You said you missed the alarm here. 4:30 a.m. West Coast wake up. Sir, what's happened? The team didn't wake up in the first half. You're not up in the first half. How are we doing?
There's a lot of that night before. Had a hell of a week, and I don't know what happened. 4:15 alarm was set, ready to go, and I just slept through that first half, picked up the second half, wasn't much better. Apparently, I didn't miss much.
Yeah, actually, if there was a first half to sleep through to get into, you know, what, at 5:30 a.m., getting that extra hour of sleep, this one would have been it. Look, we've seen this movie before. Aston Villa coming to Old Trafford. We should be slapping them around the pitch. Look at the class we have in our attack. You got Greenwood, you got Bruno, CR7, Paul Pogba. So the list goes on and on. But the problem really is that midfield, McFred. You got to say, what in the world is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer thinking playing two center defensive midfielders against the world-beating Aston Villa? Makes absolutely no sense. Pogba should be in the two. Sancho should get on the pitch. We should be going for it. Everything in the kitchen sink. Attack, attack, attack. This is Manchester United, sir. The fans are sick of, too conservative from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer against an easy Aston Villa. I think he overthinks it, really.
No, they're a solid side. I don't think he gives enough credit to the defense that he has there. By paying McFred, it's a crutch. It's a crutch because you think they can do a job in the middle of the park, but they're really holding you back. At the end of the day, they're good players. They have a role to play, but they shouldn't be your default midfield combo when you're playing against a team that, you know, you would think are going to sit back. They didn't sit back. They came punching. They were pressing high.
Well, we sat back because you invited pressure. Them. When you play McFred, the disconnect between those two and attack creates a lot of space. We've seen it exploited. Villa exploited it. They're on the front foot, sir. They're pinging around the chances that they should have had. We should have lost this game by more than one goal. That is the scary part. This is as bad as it's going to get. Ole streaky to the upside, to the downside, sir. Out of the Carabao Cup, second most popular energy drink in Thailand. Then a horrible, we're like, okay, we don't care about that. We got the league. Right, everything on winning 21 and 21/22, and we have this type of performance. It's scary stuff, and you have to look at Ole. The chair's getting hot because of that team selection. He has to go for it. If he went for it and we lose, no one's going to blame him, but you look at how bad we looked, how wrong he got it, how long it took him to bring Cavani on. These are really important questions to ask, sir. He should be judged over his entire managerial career. I'm not saying Ole needs to be removed from Manchester United at all. I'm just saying it's streaking to the downside right now. And Ole's usually been able to survive these patches. But big game this week against Villarreal at home again. And we've seen this movie before.
Well, that's the most damning thing, is that there were clearly things to be learned after the final earlier this summer. There were like things that you had to pick up in his career as a manager that were going to be able to get him to the next level, right? Ability to affect a game, making risks, taking chances early in a game. And then today was the same old movie. It was like, based on what I had seen, recap of the first half, subs should have made early. They had great chances. You know, we almost probably needed to go down a goal early in the first half. Maybe would have woken this side up. But I think Ole needs to inject that with changes. I think that's the best way to affect a game, especially when you have so many talented players and you can. You know, that defensive pairing of McFred in the midfield does not allow you to pass through the Aston Villa side, makes you susceptible to the high press. So you look out of sorts, so they did with Maguire and De Gea. And I think you need to have conviction in the players that you're going to play. You need to throw on a Cavani beginning in the second half. You do that McTominay sub instead of the 82nd minute.
Exactly,
50,
yeah.
Should be the 52nd minute. I came in, I was like, they look terrible.
Okay, besides just whinging, I think everything went wrong after Ole started moving Pogba out to the left wing. So whenever McTominay came back from his groin surgery, Pogba's getting pushed out on the left wing. He did look good there earlier in the season. But clearly when you have the attacking threats we have, Pogba's got to play in the two. He pulls everything together. The distribution from him, we would look a much better side. So to switch to that in the second half, I would totally think that was the move. Something drastic was required, sir. It's almost like you get in nil-nil. All right, scrap that game plan.
Right.
We really need to change it up. And it's the combination of being too conservative, there being glaring issues in the first half, and then the reluctance to change. Those two things together can't be had. You can get it wrong in the first half, get away with it, but you got to change it up.
No, that's the way you win games. I mean, you have to see what's happening in the game, in the moment, and make adjustments with it. And Ole has been reluctant to do so in his career. And when he does do it, glimpses of it, it usually works. It pays off, or at least like changes the tide. When the subs came on, we looked better. The most exciting part of this game was the last 10 minutes. There were some chances. The game turned pretty open. Now, to be fair, Villa had some chances as well. The guy falling over when he had like a clear-cut goal-scoring opportunity. It's not good enough from United. It's like we're not coming out games looking to like really put our stranglehold on it and like, you know, press teams back. And it was the same old movie today. I think all the fans are saying the fans are starting to get frustrated. They're not seeing that from their manager. You know, we had some injuries today. So that kind of throws a knock in things because you can't, you know, you're probably not as willing to make some subs as you would be because you don't have as many to spare, but just not go our way. And then you have Bruno Fernandes, captain certainty, missing a penalty. So the tide is turning. We have to change this. He said streaky good, streaky bad. We need to change the streak. And Villarreal, that's like a trap. Another trap game. These trap games keep coming.
Well, the problem is when you look at that rotation, we looked at all the fixtures. You got to rotate big for the Carabao Cup. You get eliminated arguably because of rotation to keep players fresh for this Villa game at home, which is literally like must win 3 points, have to have this. Look at our fixtures coming up in the league.
I know.
Doesn't get easier than that. Have to get all three. Everyone's rested, ready to go, can't get it. And then you look, okay, we can't really rest anyone midweek against Villarreal. Now, if you're looking at the Champions League fixtures in and of themselves, Young Boys away has to be three. You can get away with a draw at home against Villarreal. I don't want a draw at home against Villarreal. We got to go for blood. But you could get away with it. But now this is a must-win 3 points. So the way the fixtures have kind of lined up, eliminated from the Carabao Cup, that is bad. You got Villarreal must-win that might have not been if you could get Young Boys done away. So Ole's kind of, this team has kind of put themselves in a real tough position, and the manager is really facing a must-win for Champions League qualification game two. And players, Greenwood's tired. He's not going to be able to rotate. It's going to be a difficult fixture against Villarreal. They're coming to spoil. They're coming to play that shithousery, sir. What do you call Villarreal?
I don't even know what we call Villarreal. The El Submarine.
Flop Shop FC.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it is.
You know, shithousery
the
FC.
Worst of La Liga. The reason people don't watch brutal. La Liga, right, is because the game is so slowed down because
they're bringing it all
to play. And then they're going to bring it, and they're going to bring the confidence of a team that won their first major trophy for whatever it is. So they're going to come in confident. We're not looking confident. We need a big win. And the players you have at your disposal and the rest we have and the rotation you could make, it's like that we got it wrong today again. Didn't change it up. You know. And when we did, it was too late. So must do better.
Your lips are moving.
Must do better. What else we got, sir? What else we got?
Sir, we're
what else we got?
We're winning.
With this team and the way you performed today, it's tough not to win.
It's 8 a.m. We're whinging, sir.
You've been up since 4. I've been up since 5.
This guy, I'll tell you, Alex. Credit to Alex. Loves a snooze.
Loves a snooze.
Hasn't missed a match in 4 years and only missed one half. So, you know, credit to you. Look, the West Coast wake up is no joke. The 4:30 a.m. absolutely killing me. But, sir, you know our motto on the pod. There's never been a better time to lose to Aston Villa after waking up at 4:30 a.m. This is the time that Ole's going to wake up. This is the time this team is going to wake up and we're going to go on to challenge for the Champions League, to challenge for the league. This is the moment. Sir, every great team is going to have adversity. You can either wilt or you can keep trucking ahead, and I hope United can get it together. Oh, we're whinging this morning early. Let's get some more coffee in here. Look, quick PSA for the podcast. You want to support the American Red Devils? You can do so via Patreon. We don't have any sponsorships on this podcast. Just two biased fans in the podcast bunker giving you our take from the couch. You want to support us? Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/American Red Devils. We do a behind-the-scenes episodes exclusive every month to Patreon. Answer all your questions. You can support us through a couple of tiers. We're giving away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. Saba just became a Patreon supporter. Really appreciate you, Saba, out in the UK. She's a blog contributor to the AmericanRedDevils.com blog. She covers the women's team. She is the real MVP. We really appreciate you. Really embodies the for fans, by fans mantra. So really appreciate you, Saba. Check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Like I mentioned, we have some great fan blog content there. Everything we do is for fans, by fans, so we want that fan take. That's what we're about here at the American Red Devils. Click on store. We have some great merchandise. Shirts are incoming. A lot of things going on as far as our online store is concerned. Check out our scarves as well, sir. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are a great way to support the pod, and they don't cost any money at all. This is what you have to do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's got Cheeky Banner, even better. So we're up to like 420 over on our way to 500. So send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will send some personally picked swag straight to your door, absolutely free. It's a great way to support the pod. It goes a long way, and we couldn't do it without you guys, so appreciate it.
To take your seat.
How much does that make you miss Sky Sports?
Oh, I know. What an intro, sir. That's right. We're breaking down this amazing match. Manchester United 0, Aston Villa 1 at Old Trafford. You got to be kidding me, sir. Let's start with that lineup. Like I always say, it's good enough to beat Aston Villa at home.
Guess not.
David De Gea, world number one in net. Luke Shaw, left back. Maguire, center back. Pairing with Varane. Wan-Bissaka on the right. Fred McTominay, midfield. Pogba, Bruno, Greenwood on the right, Ronaldo up top, CR7, Viva Ronaldo. Surely he's scoring a hattie, right?
You would think so, but missed the lineup. Missed the first half that we talked about, but you look at that lineup, the big the glaring thing is McFred. Everything else looks great, but like it's never going to be a great idea given the way Villa play. We've played against Villa in this kind of setup, and we've had to make those adjustments literally mid-game because we conceded early, and I just feel like, you know, we got to be learning from these mistakes and coming out in a different way, different approach, and we did not today.
Well, you just glaring spot. You're like, look at the talent. It's like Ronaldo, Pogba, Bruno, Greenwood. Like, the back line, solid. And then you look at the midfield, too. It's just not to snuff. We call it, we needed the CDM, arguably one of the most important positions. We did not get it. And Ole, whatever, he's afraid of something. Which is why we keep getting this midfield, and fans are furious right now, sir. But a quick note on your wake up: the best part about Alex, I'm calling him. No answer.
He calls me. He's like, ah, like, he's like, yeah. He's like, you didn't even know what time it was when you called me. You were like, is the game on? You like had no clue what was going on when you called me. I was like, sir, get over to my house.
It's
like,
been a hell of a week. It's been a rough week for the American Red Devils.
Let's jump in the first half. Villa come out to play. Sir, it was taken to United. It was high intensity from the jump. Fifth minute, Bruno misses an early chance, banging one over from the edge of the box. 18th minute, this is the chance of the half. Villa with a great chance to go ahead. United caught out and target. Sky's a sitter. This one should have been a goal, sir. We were cut open. And this has happened too many times when you talk about how Ole's setting up so conservatively. What is the benefit of setting up this way when poor opposition are just slicing and dicing us in the first 20 minutes? It's not like we're like cagey and then we're going for it in the 70th minute because it's 0-0, and then they're kind of coming at us. We are getting cut open in the 18th minute by Aston Villa, and we're playing two in front of that back four. It makes no sense. The organization is atrocious. So there's no benefit to play this way. So why don't you play more attacking? Because this is going to happen anyway, sir. I don't understand it from Ole. It does not work. Has never worked. Too much of this.
And this is going through and putting together the agenda. I was like, this would have been a great time to concede. You know, maybe that is what the United side needed to wake itself up. It's horrible, but that has been the case.
What a strategy.
Many times under this side. No, of course, it's an absurd strategy, but... Dude, you're playing at home against a solid team. Everyone knows Villa is a team that comes to play. You should be a little bit more brave in how you're going about it and just same movie, right? You have two CDMs, but like neither are really a CDM, even though they're playing in that kind of holding defensive position. And they're also just like exposing you because the passing ability is not there.
I'll tell you what, playing this bad... And I have to get up that early. There's a little extra zip on our fastball today for the American Red Devils, I'll tell you.
Yeah, a little more
21st zip. Minute, Greenwood aims. A great opportunity. So the thing about Villa cuts us open on the counter. Great opportunity for Greenwood. Bruno wide open, should have passed. He didn't. Bruno fuming at Greenwood. Bruno would be fuming later for a different reason, sir. 24th minute, mix up at the back. Maguire kind of put De Gea in a bad position. He was expecting it on his left. Maguire put it to the right. De Gea dives, ends up passing it to Villa, right to Watkins. Could have been a goal. Good save from De Gea. He collects. Him and Maguire would need to sort that out. 37th minute. Big news here. Shaw down. Tried to play through it. Couldn't. Dalot comes on. I thought he had a decent game, which is promising to see. 41st minute, Villa blasts a good chance from a corner over the bar. And 46th minute, Martinez saves a good header from Maguire in a corner. This one was a great opportunity for Maguire. Great save from Martinez, the Argentinian keeper, sir. Comes in at half, 0-0. I thought we kind of got away with one here. There had to be adjustments from Manchester United. Obviously, you didn't watch it. I'm not going to ask you what you thought, but...
Reinforcements are needed. I can just tell. That's why I shut up. It's just like, you know, the American Red Devils dichotomy raised a tempo or two. Didn't seem like theirs did, because how could you not see... I mean, looking at, like, blast of chance, they have three golden chances. We maybe had one good one with the Bruno chance that Greenwood kind of took selfishly, which he did a couple times this game, especially in the second half that I was watching, but... I think it was pretty obvious that it was like you needed this like we did against Southampton last season where you put Cavani on for a midfielder and it totally changed the game, right? Same call was made. It just like we didn't concede and that almost didn't force Ole's hand.
Hey, you can't be playing for a point here against Villa at home when you're trying to win the title. Sir, second half, you were up. Not sure you were well caffeinated. How about you walk us through the second half here?
I mean, I thought in some ways United came out as worse or even worse, as bad or even worse than they did in the first half. Villa all over them. High press. There was some good play. 51st minute, Pogba with a good curler just wide after United started to play the ball a little bit better. So that was promising. And then 56th minute, Greenwood with a decent pop and Martinez. He had an eye for goal in this game. He was definitely trying to score, but I think he should have looked for that pass a couple of times, especially in that first half chance we talked about.
Absolutely. Greenwood was absolutely rapid. Pogba getting involved too. I thought Pogba played great. 58th minute sub. Lindelof for the injured Harry Maguire. Sir, Maguire's down. Shaw's down.
Big injuries. Those are big injuries, especially with Telles not looking like he's going to be like super ready to go in terms of like for like backup, because after his performance midweek, he's not
scary.
Straight ahead. And then Lindelof looked okay last week, but you know, today you have to say he was involved in the goal we eventually conceded.
Absolutely, sir. Take us through the rest of the match.
And then 60th minute, Dave saves, United Copen again. Punched away well by De Gea, but Villa were asking questions. United did not look like they had an answer. 63rd minute, nice run from AWB through the middle. Unlocked Greenwood on the right. He didn't make the most of his chance, got the ball in a good position, but really kind of just took it in. Nothing much there. 71st minute, United Copen again. Villa with another sitter. This one was quite something to see. As you said, this is what I would have done if I gotten the ball in that position. Ramsey basically just falls over, squanders the chance, but United just like, hey, dude.
And pretends to be injured.
Wake that's up. The best part yeah, of pretend that, to yeah. be injured. Yeah. Obviously, only was one sub left at this point, but how are you not making the sub you waited 10 minutes to make?
81st minute, finally Cavani for McTominay. I think you got to give Cavani 25.
Easy, 30.
You know, and it made an impact. But it didn't make too much of an impact. 88th minute, we have seen this movie before.
It will be Douglas Luiz with an in-swinger once again.
Well, it's caught against Cavani, the substitute.
I'll tell you what, the best part is Lindelof ducking out of the way.
That's insane, bro.
Just like the... Look, what Sir Alex Ferguson told Harry Maguire, obviously Harry's not on the pitch here. Concentration. One word. He asked him for advice. Concentration. 88th minute. At home. Set piece. You concede.
No excuses.
There are three players. Lindelof, Pogba,
Cavani,
obviously, with the runner, but you have to think of the zonal marking, front post.
Terrible.
Lindelof, everyone just kind of like, no concentration, no urgency, no fight, sir, and you concede. It's just Aston Villa wanted it more. Aston Villa came to Old Trafford, they wanted it more, and credit to them because they got it, and they got the 3 points, sir. There would be an absolute, like, handball, header from Cavani. Cavani makes the difference.
Yep.
Gets the penalty. Earlier. Sir, we talked about it. Ronaldo's taking penalties for Manchester United, but for some reason, Ole is saying Bruno's still taking penalties for Manchester United. We can debate this one after this, but the highlight. Here we go. 92nd minute. Internet, let's go. Can't hear the audio, sir.
At this place, Bruno Fernandes misses. It almost ended up in the top tier. The strip.
Let's go right to debating it.
It almost ended up at Villa Park. That's how high it went.
Almost ended up in Villa Park.
Big time.
Big time. Finally get a penalty, sir.
Hold on.
Just didn't expect that from Bruno Fernandes.
Oh my God.
Pressure certainly on the penalty kick. He's got Cristiano Ronaldo stood around him.
It's just one of those.
I mean, okay,
losing to Villa is bad. And one more time.
That's so
additional time at Old Trafford. Drama at Old Trafford. It's been like that down the years at this place. Bruno Fernandes misses.
Sir.
And only in sex masochism. Then it is allowed.
That's what is allowed. Watching the penalty miss twice. Bruno Fernandes, our Portuguese Magnifico. Was like a lock. When's the last time he missed a pen? That's why he was up next. Now he's not up next.
Okay.
Now Ronaldo's up next. Officially, he's a penalty digger for this team.
I understand that Bruno's record is impeccable. And I'm not saying that Ronaldo should take him because he's better. I think Bruno's better at penalties than CR7, honestly. There was a Portuguese situation where Bruno won a penalty. Ronaldo took it. He ended up missing for Portugal.
Right.
Happened recently. Now you sort of have the other way around. But this one I look to Ole, because if you sign Ronaldo, right? We watch him at Juventus. You watch him at Real Madrid, sir. Penalties are part of his game. Penalties at his age, That's a lot of, we argued about goals, the goal statistics with Ronaldo. He needs penalties. He needs free kicks. If you're signing Ronaldo, you got to be giving those to him, sir. You got to feed that monster. You gotta make him believe. Those goals matter to him. Confidence, the C, the team. He wants the pressure. He wants to be that man for this team. He has to be that man for this team. And when Bruno was taking it, and it is Ronaldo's team, the pressure for Bruno was too much, and he skies it. And it's only because of that. It's only because of the mismatch and the dynamic of the team where it should be Ronaldo's penalty all day, even despite his impeccable record. And that pressure got to Bruno because that was the worst penalty miss I have seen in a long time. I can't remember a Manchester, like, maybe like Phil Jones in the Carabao Cup 6 years ago or something. I've never seen someone sky that like that.
No, that's unbelievable. And it's not Bruno because that's like not, he usually takes it low, tries to juke, you know, mind a mess the keeper. I think there's an element of that. I think it was an element, like, for sure, which I understand and actually agree with. You're the man until you miss. Obviously, you could tell today it got to his head. It is now not Bruno's team. It is now Ronaldo's team. It is time for him to take the crown in terms of penalty taker. We're going to get more penalties. This team creates penalties because it creates chances. And I think that makes total sense. I think you're right. It's like the crown could finally be fully passed over.
But it should have been.
But he was
young. Bruno's a younger player. He's coming up. Ronaldo's the man for you know, however long he's here. He's the man while he's here. And then it's back to Bruno's team. And hopefully Bruno's improved and learned a lot from Ronaldo, sir. But what do we know? We're going to check in with a little debate here on Sky Sports about the penalty from Bruno.
Tim, what do you think the chances are of Bruno Fernandes taking the next penalty?
Very little, I would say. I mean, he threw the ball to Ronaldo in an international game, didn't he? And Ronaldo missed one. So, he's done him a favour there to throw him. Listen, you don't miss that, Jeff. I mean, you've never, ever seen him blast the ball over the crossbar. He's always waits for the goalkeeper to go down. He rolls it in the other corner. It's the pressure now of someone else. The main man is here. He wants
to take... the pressure of having Ronaldo
there, 100%. Is distorted his thinking there. Mm. He knows he's got one chance and one chance only, and I think we've just seen it go by.
No, absolutely. And look, sir, we're going to check in with the manager. He had something to say about the same thing. He's complaining about the players gathering around Bruno Fernandes.
You had the opportunity, obviously, to get a point. The penalty, what did you make of it?
No, first of all, the way they get round the penalty spot, get round Bruno and all that, that's not to my liking, but I do understand it. We shouldn't be that way. Bruno's normally very good in those positions, and unfortunately just missed this one.
Do you think that got in his head today?
No, and doesn't get into Bruno's head. He's strong mentally, and he'll step forward again.
Was he always definitely going to take the penalty first choice today?
The decision's made before the game, yeah.
What did you lack today then?
Final third, the quality in the final third. You know, you got around about 30 attempts. You tried to shoot. Loads of them were blocked. Decision making there maybe, and the quality in the finishing.
You had the opportunity.
He blames the quality of the finishing, sir. Interesting from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I think he's protecting certain players there. Stats-wise, 4 shots on target to Aston Villa's 3, sir. We did have 28 attempts.
Like the last game.
They don't matter.
No, they doesn't. It has hit the target.
Shots on target, sir.
That's it.
Possession, 60% of the ball to United, 40% to Villa. Sir, we didn't do much with it. 4 shots on target.
Pass accuracy of 77% at home against the Villa side. That's just not good enough.
Dude, Villa came to play, and Bruno Fernandes missed a penalty from the spot for only the second time in his 23 attempts for Manchester United in all competitions. And for the first time since October 2020 against Newcastle in the Premier League, I believe he also had a miss that was keeper off the line as well.
So he retook it, so it didn't count.
I know, it does not count. But there was, that is one of those like moments. I'm not saying anything about his penalty record. I think it's more the Bruno-Ronaldo dynamic.
Yeah.
Ronaldo's the older brother. Bruno's the younger brother. Older brother.
Older brother's up. Older brother's digging tense from now on. There's no doubt about that.
You don't get Ronaldo at United, and he, you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm with you.
Like, think of Ruud van Nistelrooy at Manchester United. It's like he's taking him no matter what. It's like he's the you bring someone like that in, Cantona. You bring a Cantona and he's taking the pens. Yeah. I don't care who had such a great record before. It's just one of those things. You watch the game for a long time, you just know how that works.
Well, isn't it appropriate that like the most consistent penalty taker in like recent memory for United blast his first one where he's in front of line? That is the ultimate irony, of course. Like in a game where like really could have used a point.
It's because he's thinking about like, wow,
now it's time to pass the torch.
I probably shouldn't be here, and I really can't miss this one. Manchester United mustered a total of 28 shots without scoring, last attempting more in a home Premier League game without finding the back of the net in October 2016 against Burnley.
Remember that game.
Sure, we had much more on target. Aston Villa secured their first Premier League victory over Manchester United in their last 18 meetings since winning 1-0 at Old Trafford in December 2009, sir. Low is the low, sir. I don't check the table until Christmas. I'm going to cover my eyes, cover my ears, but you love the table. You're the table Muppet. Tell them about it so I can't hear anything.
You love the table when you're in first place. Table is starting to look less and less fortuitous. At the moment, Scouse Bastards in first place with a game in hand. City got a big win today against Chelsea at the Bridge. It was a 1-0 win, so they're now second with goal differential. Then Chelsea on 13 points, us also on 13 points, and Everton as well on 13 points. So five teams on 13 points. And then sixth place, Brighton, Villa, Spurs, West Ham, Brentford. Arsenal, where you at? And that's the top 10, sir.
So are you done?
I'm done.
I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying attention. I can't check the table. Sir, until a little Santa brings me the table, I open it up under the tree.
It's in my stocking. A nice table.
It's a glorious day. Tough day for Manchester United all around. And you know, it's just we got a next match. This will cheer everyone up. Give me that. Drop the beat. It's not the Europa League, it's the Champions League, but we're playing Villarreal.
Not yet. I listen to this beautiful music, think about our Champions League nights, think about going to PSG at home, no matter how that first leg turned out. I just feel like we're going to be listening to this goddamn Hansen Franz at some point this season.
I swear to God, I can't enjoy the music right now. You said it before we played the Champions League. You're like, I can't listen to Hans and Franz. I was like, you just jinxed us.
Easiest group ever. Easiest
only
group
should
imaginable.
Call Alex
and
yell at him. Say, you jinxed us, Alex. That's what I think. Because you were like, there's no way we're going back. And yeah, I was like,
we're winning the Champions League, by the way. So,
sir, that's my Muppet. That might have jinxed us. Sir, that's my Muppet take. Yeah. But like, I always knew there was a chance that we could go back. So you're talking to two tired American Red Devils here who just watched a real rough match, and Villarreal are going to be full of confidence, coming to our house, Old Trafford, second game in the Champions League, Wednesday, September 29th, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, Lifetime versus Villarreal, sir. This is going to be barn burner. We've drawn four times and we've technically lost, but it was really 1-1 and then 11 penalties decided it. De Gea with the, we all remember. that one.
We all remember.
We all remember.
We're not going to replay that one. We're all good. We're
some
good.
Shit trophy in the middle of nowhere.
Maybe that's the trophy we're taking home next May.
So I, you know, it's just one of
the. They're still a shit team. Guess what? They're still a shit team. 12th in the Liga. They're still shit. And they're going to be the same team that we played in Gdansk.
I'll tell you what, they ain't going to show up playing badly.
No, they're going to be confident, more confident than we are.
Yes, you can say that our club has won more trophies than theirs, and you can say a lot of things about them, but I think they're going to come to our house, and they're going to make us sweat it. They're going to make us sweat it for 90 minutes, and you know it's just one of those where you look at the rosters, and there's surely no way they should be competitive, but they probably will be. Coming in to this game with Manchester United in La Liga 2-2, they drew Atletico Madrid starting the season off well. Then they lost to Braga. Then in the first game of the Champions League, they tied Atalanta with a red card. Sir, they're a scrappy team. Mallorca, Villarreal was 0-0. Then they beat, hard to pronounce that team, 4-1, sir, Elche.
I think that's right. I think you got that.
And then they play Real Madrid today, which is good for us because it's going to be a tough test before they have to come away to play against Manchester United. So a little all over the board, but they're a team that shows up. They're spoilers. They're scrappy. They're going to make it difficult for United, sir. I have a feeling that you know, we're going to come out slow.
Slow. McFred.
Fred. Well, it's like we can't break down the low block. They're arguably the best at it. The shithousery all over the pitch. The referee is going to be atrocious. You've seen it before.
You know what? You just know
it's
just going to
be one of those games where we gotta break them down. We gotta score early. We got CR7. We got Jadon Sancho. We got Mason Greenwood. We got Paul Pogba. Sir, we should be beating them. Beating them bad.
Some of the passing is fucking scratchy.
Scratchy passing today. We need to not come out that way against Villarreal. Like you said, they're going to be confident. They're going to have wind underneath their sails because of the way they performed against us in that final. Squeezed the life out of the game. They're going to do the same thing. You've seen the movie before. We've seen what kind of football Villarreal want to play. They want to slow the game down. They want to stretch as much as possible. They want to roll with every tackle, right? If you press high, they'll lean into every challenge, make the most of it, make a meal of it, try and get players sent off, try and get them on yellows. Set pieces, right? Big set piece team. So it's like, dude, this is just the this is like the Twilight Zone, bro. This is the same movies, the carousel, just going around and round and round. We're playing the same types of teams that, like, it's always almost the same. You know, they just try to clog it up, make it hard for us to break them down. We can't do it. I still haven't figured it out.
Sir, just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in with the CR7 sign-in just to bring me back to the Hans and Franz Cup. You know, it's like this team.
Can't do it.
I'll tell you what. That seat.
It's hot. It's getting hot.
That seat. They got the always like, you got the seat warmers on over here at Old Trafford. They got the. It's a little warm.
You got
seat.
AC in this place?
They got the seat warmer. Like, you know, I used to do that with Alex, like growing up in New Jersey in the summer. In the car, you'd put on the heated seat. Alex,
To the other guy.
He was in the, and then Alex is just like, back sweat. We get to wherever we were. He's like, so sweaty. And I'm just like, gotcha. So, you know, that the heated seats are on at Old Trafford for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the minute. A little history of Villarreal, founded in 1923, sir. The club's so horrible, they made their La Liga debut in 1998. They have gained some stability around there. And, oh, by the way, they won their first major honor in 2021. That's how poorly we played, defeating Manchester United, sir. They're known as the Yellow Submarine. You know, because of their yellow kit, they're not really that big of a club. We should be smacking them around. But again, if we play Fred and McTominay in midfield, I don't know if that's possible. They've been playing the 4-3-3. Paulo Torres, great defender, sir. Capui in the middle of the park. They have some dangerous players, but no one really of note. We should be just absolutely just trouncing them, honestly.
Nobody of note. Well said. He's like... It's not worth knowing.
It's a bunch of guys with beards who are going to just complain.
A lot of tats. They're going to. I'm telling you, every challenge they're going to make a meal of. So why even play two CDMs? Can't tackle him anyway.
Sir, we used to, you know, beat some big teams. You know, we used to beat Barcelona to go to the final and
remember
win
that,
it.
Skulls?
Physioroom.com, injuries, Rashford, where are you at? We need you.
Yeah, you did say
Ahmad Diallo, let's go. He's out still. Rashford, Diallo still. And then Maguire and Shaw, TBD, they both have knocks. So most likely they're not going to be featuring midweek. Currently being assessed, sir. Still a short injury list, but those two, Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, whew, if there was like a top five players you can't have, it's like in the attack, we got the depth. But at left back and Harry Maguire, whew, that's good. Those are two players you don't want to lose. Maybe top three players that you can't lose, and we might not have them. Lineup, who do you got, given those are the injuries?
Big game. It's a must win against the El Submarine at home. You got to sink them. You got to sink them early and just take the life out of them. I got De Gea in net, world number one. He's back, baby. AWB, Varane, Bailly, and Delo, the two injuries that we're talking about. I'm going to do Matic, Pogba, Bruno in the midfield, Cavani, Ronaldo, Sancho. It's like, dude, you have all these players. Play them.
I'd love to play Bailly, but he's surely going to get a red card. against Villarreal. Do something nuts because he'd be so frustrated. For that reason, Dave says Wan-Bissaka, Varane, Lindelof. Don't love it, but you got to play him. Delo, Matic, Pogba. I like Matic, Pogba. Bruno, Greenwood, Ronaldo, Sancho. Jadon Sancho. Need him involved. At home. It's time to shine, Jadon.
You know, buddy.
He's got to be starting. If he doesn't play, you have to think about it. If he doesn't play against Villa, he's got to play.
No, for sure.
You don't buy a player like that and not play him, sir. He's got to play against Villarreal. And he could be the breakthrough star we need in a game like this. It's going to be tough. It's absolutely going to be tough stuff. Sir, you have to win this fight. It's going to be a dogfight.
And we need some players to start stepping up, right? Ronaldo came out hot, so did Greenwood. Greenwood, he didn't look his best today, right? He was trying to do too much, playing hero ball.
Keep it simple.
Ronaldo looked frustrated. Bruno was playing well, but I think missing the penalty today is going to hit his confidence. So we need the cavalry. Ronaldo, you know, Rashford still needs a minute, but Cavani, Sancho, we need players to start coming back, contributing, scoring goals, getting like the momentum back on our side, because, you know, we're not gonna be a clean sheet machine, but we need to be scoring goals.
Sir, booking the bookies, United the favorites -220, Villarreal +550 to win. First time goal scorer is Ronaldo +260. Given those are the odds, what is your score? Villarreal, Manchester United, Champions League night at home.
Sir, 1-0. Like the skin of our teeth, Ronaldo pen. I'm gonna go that cheeky. And it could easily go
clean sheet.
It could easily go the other way. 1-0 Villarreal at home, and then things really get dark in the skies around Manchester United universe. What do you got?
3-1. The reason this is must win territory. Back against the wall. Must win. You don't have more bulletin board material than this.
Yeah, seriously.
This game, and it's like this is the tangent here. This game could break this dressing room. This could break this manager. We saw it as soon as we drew him.
Yep.
This wrong has to be righted, sir. Yep. And I don't know if right is a word. You got to right the wrong, sir. The past tense of that, we'll correct see. It, whatever you want to say.
Ask the wife, she knows.
You don't come to the American Red Devils because we know how to speak English. I'll tell you that.
That's true.
We got the passion. Devastating loss to them, embarrassing,
yeah.
Worldwide for this club. You need to put them to the sword. Every single player, you talk about game of inches, you talk about motivation, you talk about playing for the badge, leaving everything on the pitch. United have to come out. They have to bully Villarreal. Where's the United that has the edge, that lets them know they're coming to our house? Push them around the park. Do what you got to do. You have to win. If we will in this moment, in this game, in our house, there are serious things wrong with this dressing room, because you can't have more behind you than this.
No.
You're going to have the fans.
Revenge.
You're going to have Ronaldo. You're going to have the stinging loss. You've had all summer to think about it. That should be your motivation. This is the time to step up. This is the time to make, like, right the wrong, sir. And if we can't do that, and if that motivation and all that behind us isn't enough for Villarreal, then there are systemic issues afoot.
Now, this is a statement game just because of the significance of, like, if you cannot get the team up, if you cannot right the wrong, if you cannot learn from the errors of the previous time we played them just 3-4 months ago, then, like, there are serious questions to be asked. And the questions are already being asked, but now it's like, wow, we got a problem because this team, we know who they're going to be. We know how they're going to show up. We have every motivation in the world to beat them. We have far better team. So now it's like, you have to, like, beat them up, like you said. Like, 1-0, 1-0, convincing 1-0, like, where you get a ton of shots and then they're just, like, hanging. That's one thing. But we need to, like, control the game, never let them in for a second, because this is a pride thing as well. You let Villarreal come in and beat you at home.
No, but that shows
what they
you.
Did this in the Europa, like, League. It's like, this is like, what kind of team? What is this team made of?
Exactly.
What are these players made of? What is your long-term aspects in terms of what do you aspire to do? And if you're not, like, if you're not rubbing their face in the dirt, then, like, why are you playing football?
Exactly. It's like all the intangibles are there, sir. You got to be able to show up in this game, in this spot. There's no excuse. There's absolutely none. They're not good. They're coming to our house. They embarrassed us 3 to 4 months ago. A lot of players are there. It doesn't matter if Maguire and Shaw are down. We'll hopefully get one of them back, sir. It's just that we got to take it to Villarreal. We need some of that Roy Keane in us. We've lacked it lately. Got to get it back. Big game for this team. I reserve judgment until this game, but this is a big one, sir.
Next two games are big ones, right? Everton's now become a must-win because the teams that are coming up after Everton, I mean, this stretch, we did okay, right? We had a very fortuitous opening six games, and now it's about to get really, really difficult. So there's no more playing ourselves into form. We have to get into form now. And Villarreal is a great way to do it because they're similar to some opponents we play in the EPL, but they're not like the top teams we're about to start playing.
Absolutely. United in the news. Sir, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer went to the press. He says some manager influenced the refs not to call penalties for Manchester United. I do agree with this, but I just don't know. This isn't Ole's game.
Right? Like, this is a departure from what we usually see from Ole, which makes me feel like either two things. He's either stepping up into
bad.
The role.
They were bad.
And he's right. And Klopp's comments were, like, completely uncalled for.
But you shouldn't say, you shouldn't fight Klopp. It. You should say, I don't know what VAR is doing. That's where I would come at. I don't know what VAR is doing. It needs to be looked at. They're not getting the calls right. It's not consistent. I don't think you need to do the shots at Klopp. That's his game. Sorry, you don't it stoop is. To you, the Klopp no, game. You don't. Like the win, like, you know. Ole, Mr. Nice Guy. Keep it going, Ole. I think that he's played the press. Of all the things he's done, recruitment great, player drama great, press management great, dealing with the board great, subs horrible, tactics, blah, blah, blah. Midfield, it's like horrid. I mean, like, he's done good things. This is a little break from what he usually did. Interesting, he's playing games here. What do you think?
I mean, he's getting in the mud with a number one mudslinger. Who loves to talk a lot of shit, and that's Jurgen Klopp. You know, but the top managers, even like Fergie, you talk some shit back to these other big managers, but you have to show it on the pitch, dude. And he needs to act like he's fearless, with full of confidence, like he's starting to show in the press room on the team sheet and with the substitutions and when those substitutions are made. And there's, like, not enough of that, and it's, wake up, Ole. It's like your time, you know, the seat is getting hotter. And if you're talking about Villarreal, Everton, those games, you got to be picking up 6 points. No excuses.
Very confident, sir. Next bit of news here. The world highest paid football players for 2021. Manchester United's Cristiano Ronaldo tops the list. He is set to earn $125 million before taxes in the 21-22 season, sir. He overtook the crown from Lionel Messi. Sir, he gets lots of personal endorsements from Nike, Herbalife, Clear, his ever-expanding CR7 branded portfolio, which I'm very familiar with, sir. I went to the website the other day.
How's the perfume? How's the cologne?
I think I had an allergic reaction. Honestly, it made me nauseous. I'm not a cologne guy. I think Alex is more
I'm
of
not
like,
a cologne guy.
You know, like an aftershave guy? Like, he's got something going on. Like, Alex is like, you
know. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. You can take Alex out of jersey, but he's like, he's a big, like, You know, he's got the cologne. You know, he's
I wouldn't even let him on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to
I just not
take you and I'm your cologne on a taxi. Get the hell out of here,
sir. I'll let you have it. You seem like you're this guy. Bathes, guy. This guy takes a this guy takes a bath in cologne before we do a pod. The eyewear looks good.
Eyewear?
I don't. He says he has a hotel and a gym. I don't know about that. But the underwear and I think the jeans. I clicked on it and the website's down. So I don't know how. People at Ronaldo.com, they got to get going because, you know, his store's not even up, sir. American Red Devils. Ronaldo, we'll partner with you. We'll sell your underwear on our website if you would like. You know, I think
that's the one. That's the one corporate sponsor you'd bend the knee to. CR7 comes calling.
You're absolutely,
you start hawking
this podcast sponsored by CR7.
You hear it here first. He's got hotels in Madeira, actually, like his hometown. So, yeah, line up real estate, bro. Why not? He's cash rich.
No, if you're a cologne person. Might be for you.
Stay on the cologne.
Thinking about it makes me nauseous. Like right now, like I never want to smell it again.
It's a strong endorsement. It's a very strong endorsement.
Great packaging.
Great pack. Everything but the smell is great. Made me sick. Loved it. It was 10 out of 10.
It smells like a duty free when you walk through the airport. You know, it's like it's just like all the colognes in one.
I think it's cologne. That's what it's.
I'll tell you what, I bought it for a laugh.
We're having a laugh.
It was totally worth it. Now let's get into the more serious things. We got the fan questions, the one. Banter. Let's get into it. At AB_man99 on Twitter, quote, "It was a classic Ole performance, sirs. We have watched this game many times. I don't think there's a United fan that is surprised by this. He's holding this team back. He must go, sir." I mean, shot off the bow. What do you think of this take here?
He's got to change something. You know, he has to look in the mirror and realize, like, hey, there is a problem here. And maybe that problem is some of the stuff I'm doing. And if we don't see that sooner rather than later, I think he's going to be in a really tight spot. He could be in a really tight spot sooner than I thought, like as early as the end of this calendar year, which I thought was kind of impossible. But the standards and expectations of this side have raised when you bring in players of the level of caliber that we did. It's like the expectation is so much higher, and either he rises to meet that moment or he's going to be in real trouble.
I, you know, he strikes me as a very stubborn individual. He strikes me as somebody who he's learned a lot on the job, but as far as how we play and show up on the day, I think he has not evolved as much as he's needed to. You look at the success of Sir Alex Ferguson, evolving his game was part of it. You look at how Chelsea are playing. You look at how City are playing. You look at how the top sides in Europe are playing. We lack just basic fundamentals in how we manage the game. You look at Villa, we're all over the place. It's scrambled eggs. Can't get a hold of the game, and we're switching off, sir, in like very simple spots. And at the end of the day, you can't do the simple things right. It's Ole who's going to get the heat. Now, as far as holding this team back, that's difficult for me. I do see the things that we're struggling with right now is, look, a hell of an offseason. Players coming in, Sancho's not up to form. Ronaldo's playing well, but there's big things wrong, and he's not addressing them with the urgency I think you need to, right? Like playing Fred and McTominay again at Villa after what we saw before. You know, I don't think Fred had a horrible game. I don't think McTominay had a horrible game. But McTominay, they hamper your attack, and they're not giving you the benefit of the defense.
Nope.
So then you have to say, well, you're hurting the team. So not either player is bad, a horrible player. I mean, Fred has had some horrible games, but it's just the team as a whole, as an 11, is not running in a way and is not, we don't look like we're anywhere near the title. I'll tell you, you can't be playing like that and expecting consistent results week in, week out.
No, we look like we're going to be, it's going to be a challenge to get in the top four.
But you look at that 11, and it shouldn't be. So no, that's where Ole, you know,
that's what's that heat's
hot, bro. Yeah. The seat's hot. and it's hot because we look that bad with that team. And then it becomes, well, somebody else isn't going to look that bad.
Right.
But then we've had LVG. We've had David Moyes. We have had Mourinho. And they haven't been able to figure it out either. So it kind of becomes, well, what's next?
But no one's had a squad as good as this squad. This is the best squad at United. And I'm going to say this
again.
It's
a tough job, is my point.
No, it is.
It's a tough job. And he manages a lot of the things the other guys didn't do well. But on the day, for whatever reason, he's not able to make the changes.
But he's assembled this unbelievable team of players. He's developed some of these young players into a place where they're, you know, on the cusp of becoming world beaters. It's just like, if you can't make the most of it, you can't rise to the occasion and rise to the team and how good they can be, then you're going to have to get, you know, it's going to put a lot of pressure on your ability to be the manager. And that's the problem, is like, expectations are so much higher because Ronaldo's here, and it's like, can he rise to the challenge? We're going to find out in the next couple of months, because if he has a brutal run through these wicked turn of games, sir, I'm going to see them play the Scouse Bastards in a month from now. It's like, if that game doesn't go well, if the games around that, the City game, the Spurs game, you know, the Leicester game, if those don't go well, he's going to be in trouble.
At you, Bosun. What the actual fuck is going on? There's something wrong. Ole is regressing. We are getting worse by the game. Even Bruno misses pens now. I cannot keep defending this manager. Hashtag coming in hot. We feel you. You know, I kind of think the Bruno pen thing was Ole's call. And ultimately, that cost us the game, cost us the point today. I think a few decisions cost us. And, you know, it's hard to blame everything on Ole when the players just, you know,
not enough movement, not enough intensity.
I'm sure he's not saying like play like shit. You know, I'm sure he's not like,
something's off.
But it doesn't look like he's got a plan when it doesn't, like bringing Cavani on at halftime and putting Pogba in the two, or bringing Sancho on and putting Pogba in the two.
That would have worked.
Seems to be an easy thing to adjust the game to get the 3 points that we desperately need to win a title. If winning titles is your motivation, those are the types of moves you need to make. And I just don't see Ole making those bold decisions that will win you titles where other managers can do so. Next tweet here. @GlazersOutFC. Love the Twitter handle. If you look up the definition of outwork in the dictionary, you'll find today's game as an example. That was rough. Lindelof equals set piece shakiness just like last season. Absolutely. Difficult questions will be asked of Ole. Wednesday will be very important to him. I totally agree. And it's like the manager's imprint. He's almost Ole Mr. Nice Guy in the locker room, because you see Ole Mr. Nice Guy on the pitch. You don't see that grit. You don't see that urgency. You don't see the players thinking they're about to get benched because if they don't give 110%, that's what the manager demands. Seems like everything's all right, sir. Seems like Ole Mr. Nice Guy a little too much with that type of performance.
And the red lights are starting to flash, because these are winnable opponents in the Champions League. That's going to be trap game, tough game. It has to be a statement match for this side and what they want to do with the season. Because if we roll and make it a meal of a game, which it could easily turn into, just an absolute shit show, we're going to be in trouble.
At United Scores, quote, a fucked up early morning nightmare. At Red Devil Woody, abysmal. I think the fucked up early morning nightmare is a good, great take. At @Jordan_R, quote, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize McFred does not work against equal-sided opposition. Not against a weaker team. Totally agree. McFred against City, it works.
It makes sense. PSG.
You can't counter Villa.
No, it's absurd.
Does Ole lack a killer instinct as a manager? And I would say yes.
Yeah.
He lacks the killer instinct. He lacked it against Villarreal in the Europa League final, and he's lacking it at the moment. And he can fix it, but if you don't play Pogba in the two against Villa at home, what are you going to do?
No.
You got to take risks. Sir Alex Ferguson took risks, and the system that Sir Alex Ferguson played and what he demanded of his players allowed him to get away with Darren Gibson.
But he's always switching things up. He's always taking risks. He's always rolling the dice. He's not sticking with the same tried and true. Dude, you gave McFred a run in the first half. You got to be like, oh, this ain't working. Let's change it. Instead of being like, well, I'm going to talk to McFred and say like, hey, guys, keep playing well. Get the ball to Pogba. It's like, no, dude, they're not set up to succeed. You have all these attacking players. Get them up in the front four. Put Pogba where you can pull the strings. Put a CDM and like put some onus on that back four, they can do their job instead of just making it all about that kind of grinded out midfield that's just not doing a job.
I'd rather lose 4-3 and go for the game. Put everything up front. Take risks. At last tweet here, at mherzy5, quote, "What an absolute shit game all around. I feel if we don't turn things around soon, it's time to start questioning Ole. You got to think a Pep or even a Tuchel would have made more adjustments and subs earlier. Just don't feel like he can lead us to a title. Sad day, sirs."
So we don't want that. We've given him the same criticism and advice for a year to Ole. It's like, I'm sure his peers are too. I'm sure like McKenna and Carrick and you know, and Phelan, et cetera, should be like, dude, you gotta be a little bit more conviction. You gotta like change things up early. You gotta be willing to kind of offend some of the players, even though you're only Mr. Nice Guy. And it's like, and if he's not getting that feedback, then someone's gotta be telling him the honest truth, because it's not that difficult what's not happening right at the moment. It's like pretty clear that like it's tactical, it's subs, it's, you know, intention of coming out in games.
Like urgency. Yeah. No, and look, McGuire and Shaw went down. We lost Luke Shaw is a big part of our attack, sir. You know, we lost him early and we felt it. You know, Ole playing Pogba on the left hasn't been coming off. He's got to fix it by, look, Villarreal is a big game. And if we get a big result, pressure's off. But if you're looking at my oven goes to 500 degrees, sir, how hot is that seat?
It's preheating right now.
How hot is that seat?
It's like 350.
Twitter is like 375. I think the seat.
It's 350. It's the seat's on like a preheat to 500, because that seat is going to be real hot if he loses against Villarreal.
Villarreal
or drops points.
Villarreal
even a draw is a terrible result.
Villarreal loss at home, 450 ready to throw the cookies in the oven right there.
Yeah, it's
ready
like
to go.
Scalding, and then you got Everton, and that's like,
and then it's like, sir, house is on fire.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about football is you beat Villarreal big, oven's off.
Yeah, oven's turning off. It's still cooling down.
But it's not the result. It's the manner of the result. Like 12 shots on target, controlling the entire game, unlucky, like hell of a performance from the keeper, unlucky.
We've seen those.
Goal we conceded. Like I don't think the oven's that hot. You know, I think it's the manner. It's Ole sticking with this system that everyone knows what you're going to see. We see the same thing and it goes poorly. And that just shows that he's like a little out of his depth and you have to look for him to change it up. And in the past he has. So you got to give him the credit. And I have to think with the rotation, wasn't thinking about playing McFred against Villarreal if he was playing them against Villa. So maybe it could be a rotation thing. Sir, that's the podcast. We appreciate all the listeners to the American Red Devils around the world. This week particularly has been a difficult one for me and Alex. Like we had mentioned on our last podcast, there's a sudden passing of our great friend, the Chelsea fan that we talk about on this podcast all the time. It's just been a rough one for us personally, and everyone who reached out to us on Twitter and email, Patreon, socials, everything to give us, you know, support during this tough time. We really, really appreciate it. It shows us what an amazing community the American Red Devils are. And, you know, we're going to his memorial right after we record this podcast. You know, seeing the bonus Chelsea coverage today was very difficult for me. You know, he would have loved to text us about this result. I mean, that's the type of great friend he was. The banter was hot always. An amazing gentleman, a legend of the game, and even on a stinging loss for Manchester United, I'm thinking, you know, what would he say? What would he send to us? You know, and it's just it's a tough one for us. So, you know, we really appreciate people reaching out. This is an amazing community.
No, we couldn't, honestly, you know, our hearts go out to everyone that went on the way to send us some kind words. We appreciate it. We couldn't do it without the American Red Devils community, you know, putting through that pod last week. That was tough. And we're not even talking about the results. Losing games, that's probably appropriate. It's almost rooting for Chelsea today. You know, a member of our boy, they did lose at the bridge. But I was expecting the text, you know, like it is very sad. The text of us losing. That's when you hear the most chatter. But that is life. But sir, thank you to the fans. please join Patreon. Check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. Check out our store. We've got great merch. New scarf flying off the shelf, and it's a great one that you designed.
Sir, you know, this this thing that started out like you and me talking smack into a mic has turned into something greater. Like I said, it's really a community and an awesome one. I mean, I thought us putting what we thought on audio would create just troll after troll telling us how dumb we are and we can't talk, which is probably in some ways right.
All right.
But what has really happened is a community has been created, and a community that we feel comfortable sharing some tough times with, and one that, you know, supports each other and supports us. And, you know, we're thinking of all the American Red Devils out there. And if anyone else is going through tough times, we have a great community here. You should check out our Discord as well. And, you know, we're there for all fans, and, you know, we have a great family here. I just want to make sure you guys know that we really appreciate you. And, you know, the show must go on, sir. In tough times, one foot in front of the other helps me a lot. And, you know, you're going to be going, and you're going to be putting some flowers at Stamford Bridge for our friend. And, you know, we're going to remember him right on this podcast. And we will always be talking about him. And, you know, hopefully we're going to see a title race between Chelsea and Manchester United, or maybe it's going to be like when Lampard got fired last year for them. So, you know, I'll take a Ole fired Champions League winner with whoever comes in. You know, that was a hell of a turnaround. But I just want to say we really appreciate you guys. It's meant a lot to us this week. Sir, we have some top 10 cities for downloads the last 7 days. You want to give us that list?
Let's do some mispronunciations. Number one, how you doing? Herndon, Virginia. Toronto, Canada, number two. Appreciate you. San Jose, California. Dublin, Ireland. Tres Rivieres, Canada. Ankeny, Iowa.
Aptos. I don't think they use Trace.
I think
we got them confused with the country. I think you got him confused with Mexico.
Okay, let's go. This guy just
Troyce?
Hop in there.
Sorry, I can't do that.
Yeah, I got it. Ankeny, Iowa. Can you try again? Athens, California. Runcorn, United Kingdom. New York, New York. And last but not least, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. It's been a hell of a week for the American Red Devils. It's been a hell of a week for Manchester United. It's always darkest before the dawn. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. And this team needs to show it right now, because these next two games are critical must wins.
Sir, we're going to leave all the fans today. This was a little long one, but it is the Take Me Home United Road song. Everyone enjoy it. It's a United classic played at the stadium. Hope everyone has a good start to their week. Villarreal, we're hoping that we're going to be celebrating a big win. Because the oven's preheat. It's preheating. Take me home, United Road.
I was born to be united. Daddy told me when I was just a baby. When I was five, I went down the road.